hands continue, our lives rather, continually at the mercy of or in the process of electrical or mechanical energy. For example, see, when you get on a plane, the laws of aerodynamics are fortunately rather common, and so we get on the plane and we feel comfortable completely. You get on that plane, you settle back in the seat, prepare yourself for the ride, and maybe not always, but I think most of the time you more or less assume the plane will get off the ground. Hope it will get back there. We take for granted the laws of aerodynamics without much of a thought. You can be as squeamish getting in your automobile, which seems just a little bit more on a mechanical level. You assume your four wheels are touching the ground in most cases, but you don't stop to think of where that ground is in a little ball out over space. So while your wheels are going like this, your ball is going like this, and nothing under it. We take all of that for granted. But in the cases of our identity with Christ, we've been so accustomed to putting it at a humanistic, mechanical, physical level that it's hard really to shift gears and just be comfortable. Just be comfortable, sustained by Christ every day. You have a problem, you mention it to him. You feel you've done something amiss, you said something nasty to your neighbor, you get forgiveness for it. Now, as you see, you deal with your life on a daily basis, all the crises that come, in the assumption Christ is the essential energy factor that sustains you. You don't have to pull him into focus. You don't have to play your harmonica. You don't have to stomp. You don't have to jump up and down to get him to come, to get yourself in the mood, as it were. You don't have to get in the mood. You don't have to get anything. You just live, and the laws of spiritual dynamics are as fixed and vital as the laws of physical dynamics or electrical dynamics, electromagnetism. These are all there. And you don't have to do anything to get them there. You have to plug in or get yourself organized or anything else. You just it's the sustaining essence of our lives is in the limitless energy of the Spirit of Christ. And you have problems, you deal with them, but you go out not assuming that if you have a problem, you're going to miss out on the energy factor. Now, we have certain electrical problems we have to deal with. The batteries go down or whatever, but that's a different thing that has to do with physics, laws of physics. And the laws of the Spirit are sustaining. You're not going to run out of a battery. You may have trouble getting your focus on things. You go each day in the assumption that Christ is there with you, that he's part of your life, part of the sustaining energies of your life. Remember now, don't ever forget this. Your eagle wings catch the currents. And whatever happens in your life, you rise higher. Here you are this morning. You're here. You've had all kinds of problems. But your wings have caught the currents. And you've risen above them. You think, well, I haven't been too trusting, or I haven't thought too good of thoughts. Whatever those things are, forget it. You're above the problem, and you're with Christ. That's a marvelous thing. Now, we are confronted in life today with great numbers of people that are seeking a secret of spiritual vitality, but seeking it apart from Christ. And we've come full circle from Siddhartha Gautama of India, who was the founder of the Buddhist movement. We've come full circle from Lao Tzu and Confucius and all these people. And people are back again in the same mood of trying to find spiritual realities apart from Christ. And you have somebody that's looking around for a 30,000-year-old guru, you know. And it's all the same stuff. I kicked the slat out of my cradle when I first heard about it. This religious tap has been around for thousands of years, trying to find the key to getting to yourself, getting to your center, to the real self. So they call it today the New Age philosophy. And the New Age philosophy of today is the Old Age philosophy of the Hindus, various spiritist outfits for thousands of years. There's nothing new about it at all. Except maybe you've got new suckers going for it. No, people try to equate that with what I'm talking about in terms of Christ, and it doesn't equate at all. So the effort is to get to the essence of your spirit. But they've not separated between the human spirit and the spirit of Christ in us. So what they're talking about in terms of our spirit is really our soul, the psyche. And if you can wade through all of that mishmash of human neurons in there and get to yourself, you've done something pretty remarkable. You're not going to do it. Understand something. Every day you're putting new data into your brain. You're adding to the neurons. You're adding to that complex system in there. New data. And the new data alters the old data. So what you were 10 years ago, or 5 years ago, or 1 year ago, is not at all what you are today. You're a different person. You cannot go back to any moment in time and recapture what you thought or what you were at that moment. So the whole issue of trying to, the whole psychoanalysis thing, which has kind of gone down the drain anyway, because who can afford to go every week at $100 or $200 a throw of their lives and get straightened out, assuming that the psychiatrist has any better grasp of things than you do, you know. But that went down the drain a long time ago. But even the idea of going back and recapturing what you were even a year ago and trying to put yourself in that spot is not possible. So you have to move on. Move on. Today is the beginning of another year. Yesterday was. Move on. Sustained by the grace of Christ. Sustained by His energy within, by His Spirit. Accept. Accept the fact that His Spirit is working in you and go in that reality. And let Him work out the details of your life. Do what you have to do each day. Make what changes seem to be obvious to make. But remember that your energy process within you is Christ and not ever your ability to analyze yourself. You can never do it. Even if you could sort out all the neurons, you'd be biased. Anyway, the bias with which you evaluate yourself is no different than the bias with which you evaluate other people. You don't give yourself a true picture of yourself. Whether you're on your knees or standing on your feet or shouting in the air, you're still not going to evaluate yourself accurately. Only Christ can do that. And if you could evaluate yourself accurately, your capacity to change is extremely limited. And it's usually a humanistic kind of change anyway. As, for example, in the effort to do weight loss, you know. Weight loss is not an easy thing unless you get zapped, you know, then you can lose weight pretty easy. People struggle with themselves. Not that they shouldn't make changes. I don't mean they shouldn't. But understand that the most essential element in your life is the Spirit of Christ from without, energizing you and giving you the grace and strength to live, versus the New Age philosophy, which is plumbing the depths of or going to the limits of your own personal psyche. And that is a sucker trip. It's a sucker trip. You're not going to do it. And if you get there, if you once get to a most accurate identification of yourself, you'll be in a deeper hole anyway. In this new year coming up, remember our last week's recommendation. No remorse, no resolutions. In the first place, remorse is so full of the elements of human misapprehension anyway. You know, you don't know, you can't go back. You may feel that there are things you should have done or shouldn't have done, but let's leave it at that. That may be true. Now this is a new day, a new year. No remorse, no resolutions, because as I've said, resolutions are like restaurants. No restaurant is any better than the last meal you had there. No resolution is any better than the last one you broke. Don't resolute. Just go. Go along and deal with Christ each day and so forth. But you don't have to ascend up into heaven and pull Christ down, as Paul says. You don't have to go down into hell and pull him up, you see. He's here. He's with us in our very heart and in our very mind. That's what Paul says. He's the energy process that keeps you going day by day. So let that be the floor of your life. It's like an automobile engine. The engine is the basic energy process that with which your car goes down the road. You may want to do some tuning on it. You may have to put some fuel in it, but it's the energy process of your automobile. Your energy process is Christ, the Spirit of Christ in you. He is sustaining you. He will sustain you day by day. I happen to be in a position to have some very specific experience of that. I'm not talking in an ivory tower. The chances of that ischemia recurring, as the doctor says, are maybe 2 out of 3. And so the areas of that problem are quite distributed. But does that matter? No. Why does it not matter? Because the same energy that keeps me going with the artery problem is the energy that keeps me going without the artery problem. It's in the Lord's hands. I don't have to worry if I'm good enough, which I'm not. I take that by faith. I'm not good enough. I don't have to worry if I have enough faith. I don't have to worry about anything. I just take it a day at a time, and the same energy that has sustained me for lo these 68 years, the Lord has sustained me all these years through a number of problems. I've had problems before. I'm telling you this simply because I want you to know I'm not in an ivory tower here. I'm not whistling in a graveyard. I'm just going every day and trusting the Spirit of Christ to do whatever He has to do. And I do what I have to do. So you're at peace. And being completely at peace is very helpful to the healing process, as you know. But I want you to know that the things I've been saying to you for the last 100 years work. You can depend on it. I've been there ahead of you. Whatever your situation is, I don't care what it is, whatever your problems are, I can probably match them. And I know that the same Christ sustained me that sustains you. Why would you be here if Christ hadn't sustained you? You're not getting much of an entertainment program here, I can tell you that. Anyway, I thought you might like to know this. We're moving along. I'm doing what has to be done in terms of the care of the physicians. There are some that think, well, I don't want to trust human medication because I want Dr. Jesus to do it. Well, I don't worry about that. I think the marvels of modern medicine are there, and they are very, very efficient in many, many ways. They make mistakes. Doctors make mistakes. But let me give you the process that I use in finding the will of God, which I had to find out in regard to this current crisis. Because it's a life and death matter. We're not talking about where do you get your leg mended, you know. It's on life and death. And I just said, well, Lord, I don't know who is right. What's more, they don't know. You got a lot of amateurs out there telling you how to get the best cures and how to do this and how to do that. But the doctors don't know. I understand that. There's no cut and dried thing. If you got a broken bone, they know how to set it, and that's pretty cut and dried. I've had broken bones set. I had my elbow broken off, the whole joint broken loose, and today I have full use of the arm because a very accomplished bone specialist took care of it. But anyway, they do marvelous things with those things, but there are a lot of things they don't know, and one of the big things they don't know about is cancer. So what you do is say, now, Lord, I don't know, and the doctors don't know. Now, what I'm going to do is just trust that you will see to it that I get to the right people and do what is right. Well, I think through a series of going here and there that the Lord brought me to a place where I felt very comfortable. I felt this is it. I felt complete peace about it. Oh, that's all I could do. I could have, you know, I had 100 suggestions of who to call and where to go and what to take and what not to take. And understand something, though, very important. We're all different. My body is different from the next person's body. What works for them may not work for me. So I don't have any other course than to just say, well, Lord, see that I get to the people I'm supposed to get to. I think in some respects he used that incident of the stroke or the ischemia to solidify things. Because, you know, it's kind of a crazy thing. That Thursday I went up to Sacramento. I got to the airport and I couldn't walk. So rather than saying, well, maybe I better go home, we just got a wheelchair and went out to the plane. Got on the plane and then I got to the airport and they had to get another wheelchair and take me to the hospital. Finally, at 3 o'clock in the morning, I had to get the meat wagon to take me over to the... they took me to the hotel. I got the meat wagon, take me to the hospital. And they called down here, and my good friend Peter gave them instruction on what to do and brought me back down. But you would normally assume that a person that couldn't walk would decide maybe they shouldn't go to Sacramento. But I'm not that smart, so I went on. But even that was used to discover things that were possibly more important than the cancer. And that were these, what they call bruises in various places that have to do with a slight narrowing of the arteries and some two-thirds chance of recurrence. But the doctor was more concerned about that than he was about the cancer. But it took that thing to sort of put it into focus. Well, what does that make? What difference does that make anyway? The same one that created the arteries can also take care of them. So we do our medication and we go on and do our job. But all of these things, it's kind of an eclectic little discussion of things here, but it's trying to help us get into a smooth flow of your identity with Christ and His Spirit. Not that your life is going to be smooth, but the basis of it is smooth. The engine, the energy process just flows. Believe me, it flows. Take it from an old man with a few maladies, that I can commit you to Christ, which I do every day, anyway, all of you. And the Lord is going to take care of you. See that what comes up is what has to come up. We just go along. Appreciate your prayers. I'm glad to have you on my team, because you're going to be, you just all feel confident that your prayers are as good as anybody else's, that you don't have to be anything special, do anything special. Just mention the old man to the Lord and let him do whatever he wants to do. Just one other thing, just to complete this thing about the New Age philosophy. Don't ever argue with anybody about it, because there's no, you know, you can't argue with ignorance. If people have selected a course that is apart from the Bible, you have nothing to say. Your course is based on the Bible. And that's where you get your input, your data. And that's what you stand on. If they don't like the Bible, that's their problem. If they get in touch with themselves, they've jumped into a mud hole anyway. That's what you call in the one sense, the cerebral carousel, or going around their own brain. When they finally jump in wholeheartedly into themselves, they found out that they jumped into a cesspool. Let them alone. Let them be New Age or New Thought or New anything else. You just stay with Christ, and you've got plenty of data in the Scripture to back you up, and that's what your source is, and my source is the Scripture. And after 68 years, I can say to you that it works. And it's a solid basis. Well, I think I better stop here. Father, we ask you to take these words, these understandings and ideas, and give us the grace to handle our lives as you have provided them. Fulfill your purpose in each of us. In Christ's name, amen.